I'm very happy now to welcome back to the show Amanda Bramble. She's the director of the Ampersand Sustainable Learning Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi.
So Ampersand, I mean, we've talked to you before. It's been a while, though. Let's tell people what you're all about. It's quite an interesting organization.
Well, we're located down Highway 14 between Cerrillos and Madrid, and we have a demonstration site that's off-grid where we demonstrate all aspects of permaculture and natural building, and we live off rain catchment, so we don't have a well. So everything's rain. We do passive solar design for our buildings and for water heating, and we grow food and we restore the land, and so we're basically living that way and demonstrating to people how to integrate these kinds of appropriate technologies into their lives.
And you've got all sorts of classes where people can go out there and learn how to do it and just little by little incorporate it into maybe their more urban or suburban lives.
Yeah, exactly. We have a class series in the spring, so that's really what to watch out for. We cluster the classes around generally around May and June, a little bit in April, and so we teach about these things. We have a high desert gardening class and land restoration and wise water systems. And so, you know, if you're just a beginner and you don't really know anything about it, it's a great place to come. And also, if you have a lot of experience, you can also learn something.
What is it like for you living on only water catchment, living on only rainwater? How is it just like normal life in a place where you've got municipal water, and how is it different?
Well, I mean, it's not really that different. I mean, of course we never have our water running where we're not using it. And, you know, if systems are set up in a way that are, you know, with a mind to frugal use of water, then you're not going to automatically waste water like in a normal conventional house. You're likely to waste water because, for example, you're waiting for the cold to turn to hot. You're waiting for the hot. So on our kitchen sink, when we are running water to wait for the hot to come, we have a filter where we have the water go into our ceramic filter on the edge of the sink. And so every time we do that and wait for hot water, it's part of the system and that's our drinking water. You put it through the ceramic filter. It's actually a higher quality of life than many people because the rainwater's really very good tasting and good for you. And whereas a lot of people in our area with wells have very bad tasting water. And so it's kind of actually luxurious. But, you know, we have a greenhouse and we grow food with the gray water and also just with the rainwater. And so we have to be frugal and really keep an eye on how much we have. But it's not usually, doesn't feel like a problem. Feels like a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, from the outside, it could feel like you're in a constant state of frugality and asceticism and sacrifice, but it doesn't feel that way to you.
It doesn't feel that way at all. No, it feels actually living off rainwater is really, it changes your perspective on the weather. You know, you're like really happy when it rains and snows, and there's an intimacy with your resources that is a really beautiful thing that people don't normally have unless they really try.
Now, do you grow much of the food that you eat?
Yes. Right now we have a lot growing in our greenhouse, lots of greens and tomatoes. And then in the summer we have an outdoor garden as well.
Are you vegetarian based?
We are not completely vegetarian, but we mostly eat vegetarian.
What do you do for protein in a local, sustainable way?
Well, sprouting lentils is one thing we do a lot. You know, using grains and legumes together and beans. I was a vegetarian for almost my whole adult life, so it's second nature to me. I don't even really think about protein. But, you know, when your food is based on a whole grain and a legume or beans, you know, if those are always kind of the staple, then you don't really have to worry. But I suppose you should talk to a nutritionalist
about
it.
Yeah, right. You do your cooking with also solar ovens mostly?
That's right, yeah. That's our primary way that we cook, is through solar ovens. And we do that through the winter as well. You can't cook as much in a solar oven in the winter because there's not as many hours of sunlight. But you can do some hybrid cooking where you could, like, for example, heat up water on the stove in the morning and then pour it over your beans and then put the beans in the solar oven, then they'll cook fine. So there are certain techniques where you can really use it well in the winter.
How does the solar oven work and how hot does it get?
Well, there's lots of different kinds of solar ovens, and this is something that I teach about, and we'll be having a class in May about it. Ours, we use the design that's called the solar wall oven, and it has a door in the back, so you don't have to take the glass off in order to access the food, and you can also install it into the south side of your house if you want, so then you don't have to go outside in order to access the food, right? So we have it in our attached greenhouse, and in the winter it's kind of luxurious because you don't have to go outside. So ours gets to 275 maybe, and that is a fine cooking temperature. You know, there are solar ovens that will get to 350, 400, but you don't need that temperature in order to cook food. It generally needs to just go longer. And there's insulation in the walls, and it's, you know, the window, the glazing is what brings the heat in, and ours has a metal bottom, so the metal will absorb the heat and conduct it into the pot.
We're talking to Amanda Bramble from the Ampersand Sustainable Learning Center. So, I mean, there's so many things you do. We could talk about it all day. You've got passive solar heating that takes care of almost all of your heating, even in the winter. You also do land stewardship, and that's something that you're both practicing and teaching. What does that look like?
Well, land stewardship, I consider that to be all-encompassing with all parts of my life. But I started my career in sustainability with studying ecological restoration. And so for me, an outgrowth of restoring the ecosystem and taking care of the land is, you know, natural building and passive solar design and living wisely with your resources. So I consider all of that land stewardship. But the land restoration part is, we have a lot of erosion problems here in New Mexico because of overgrazing, because of mining issues, and, you know, just not having taken care of the land. So things like mulching, certain structures like one rock dams, you know, things, structures you can create with rocks and sticks that are nearby can help prevent erosion and take care of erosion that you already have so that we don't lose our soil and have all of our soil in our water where our fish should be.
Right. And our topsoil and fish aren't really all that compatible with each other.
Right.
So you have internships available, and so young people come to study and learn and live and become part of the community.
That's right. The internship starts in mid-May. It goes for 2 months, and it's a big education, actually. I mean, our classes are great. They're one-day things where you can learn specifically about certain techniques. The internship, living there at Ampersand, is an education in itself, just learning how to adapt your lifestyle to the infrastructure that we have. And our infrastructure is adapted to our environment. So it's a way to attune with the natural environment.
And with some of the nice benefits of modern life, like electricity.
Right.
And
yes.
Hot water.
Yes, we have internet, we have electricity, we have hot water. I mean, it's possible to integrate with the natural elements without living like a monk, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, these days we have glass, for example. just the invention of glass has changed everything as far as passive solar design and solar cooking and things like that. So, you know, it's a pretty good life. There's hot showers and good food, and it's basically adapting to the rhythms of the land and of the sky. So the sun, you know, comes up in the morning. If you want to cook your food with the sun, you have to prepare all your food in the morning. Well, in the heat of the summer, you can prepare your lunch in the morning, put it in the oven, and then at lunchtime you can prepare your dinner and put it in the oven, then it'll be ready for dinner. But depending on the day length, you have to think ahead.
Right. Now, these internships, you are offering a scholarship for one of the people, a partial scholarship, so that they can come out and live there. How does it work? How do people apply for it?
Well, you should go to our website, and we have an application process. It's just a bunch of questions that we ask you to answer, and that deadline is February 27th, so we're looking for all applications by that date, and then we'll let people know in early March.
Excellent. So the website is ampersandproject.org, and people can find out all about what's happening in the spring schedule and basically everything they could want to know about Ampersand without actually going there. But are there opportunities for people to go there? Do you have open house days and things like that?
Yes, that starts in the end of April. We'll have some volunteer days and open house days as well as the classes.
What's the experience like for the interns themselves?
Well, it's interesting. Of course, it's different for every person, and some people are really used to camping and such, and it would be an easier transition for those folks. But the main thing that Ampersand has to offer is a shift of perspective. And I mean, there's so many techniques you can learn, so many lifestyle options for living more sustainably. But the main thing is really taking responsibility for your relationships. And so, you know, look at the context of our world right now. We've got global warming, climate change, where our government isn't, and corporations who are like really in charge are not responding, right? And we've got fossil fuel prices going up, scarcity going to happen. We've got economic instability. So the paradigm that we're used to is very consumptive based and individualistic. So that's why you see a lot of green products on the shelves. And okay, you want to be more sustainable, buy this. But what we are offering at Ampersand is a totally different thing. It's a different perspective where the way to be sustainable is through your relationships. And so where do your resources come from? Instead of just turning on the lights, I mean, of course we can just turn on the lights even though we have solar power, but and we can turn on the sink and the water will come out. But we know we have a feedback system. We know how much electricity we have to use. We know how much water there is. And so the security shifts from your security is based in your understanding of where your resources are coming from and being in right relationship with those. So we have plenty of sun here in the Southwest, right? So we're using it everywhere we can to do any heating. So heating our water, heating our spaces, heating our food. And in our climate, we don't have a lot of water. So we're being really frugal with that. So and that's an idea that people understand anyway, but you understand it differently when you live that way and those are your only options.
Exactly. And it makes me think, I mean, the other way that we're not sustainable is that we've been taught to live on credit. And what you're talking about is 100 gazillion ways that we're living on credit, both in terms of money and in terms of water and in terms of fossil fuels and all of it.
Yeah, true. It's a direct, I mean, a direct relationship really, really changes. I mean, it really brings a lot more meaning into your life because, I mean, it's so, when you need water and you see the land is dry and it rains, it's like an emotional experience, you know, way beyond if you didn't have that relationship with rain and of really living with it.
Amanda Bramble is director of the Ampersand Sustainable Learning Center. Once again, they're on the web at ampersandproject.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.